All right, let's kick things off. Bring Jim in. How you doing today, Jim?
It's a great day today in the great Northwest and in Southern California, and we've got a great subject today. Very interesting author, co-author of the book Selling Vision. We've got Rick Cheatham today. His co-author is Lou Shatner. He's not on with us today, but Rick is, and the book is Selling Vision. Now, the title of our program is How to Avoid Sales Productivity Dips While Modernizing Sales Departments and or Introducing New Products or Major Changes in the Company. Change is risky for all sales organizations and all organizations as a whole. And I've seen it happen for year after year. New products introduced and old products lag, new products surge ahead, nothing's happening in the middle. All of a sudden you're at dead spots, volume drops, salespeople don't trust you. All kinds of things happen when there is change coming. Now, in his book, Rick takes us through the origins of the book and how change doesn't have to mean one or two quarters of lower revenue when salespeople adjust. He agrees that there are a lot of new realities today in customer buying, and I was delving into that into his book in the last few days. Rick leads the U.S. sales practice for BTS. He works with clients such as Google, Accenture, MetLife, and IBM to drive their sales efforts. He leads a team of over 20 sales consultants and conceptualizes many of the BTS solutions deployed in the U.S. Rick, welcome, and tell us a little bit about BTS before we get started.
Great. Thanks, Jim. It's a real pleasure to be here with you guys today. Overall, BTS is a consulting firm with multiple practice areas. Lou and I just happened to lead the sales practice within BTS. We're about 500 consultants globally, 30 offices around the world. And the real passion we have is making strategy work through people, and a core belief that people want to do a good job. And so we work with organizations to make sure that they hit their results while their teams get to do the best work of their lives.
And the company's headquarters are located in?
Beautiful Stockholm, Sweden. So global headquarters in Stockholm, and U.S. headquarters are in Stamford, Connecticut.
I noticed they're on the Stockholm Exchange there, aren't they? Public company?
Yes, we're public.
Excellent. That's great for a company like that. Now, this Selling Vision, it's very interesting. The subhead is X equals, or I shouldn't say X dash a Y, XY dash Y, the formula for driving results by selling change. Now, as we get into this today, I've got a series of questions, and I'm sure we'll get down a bunch of rabbit holes, and I won't get to all of them. Also, at the very end of this today, the very last 3 minutes of the show, I'm going to ask you the question, what are the three things that have made Rick Cheatham a success? And if we can do that and then tell people how to reach you personally, that would be great. Let's start off with why this book? This is an unusual approach. Both sales, it's more than just a sales approach. Obviously, it's a corporate approach, and it takes a little bit to explain it. So tell us why you wrote the book and what it's really about.
Sure, and we can start with that subtitle, because I think probably most of us who are great sellers happen to be so in part because the genetic material for really engaging and inspiring buying rarely travels with those awesome algebra genes. So if I could just back up and say, what do we mean with this overall approach in this little formula that we've got in here? You actually provided a fantastic introduction into what happens when change occurs, especially in sales organizations. And there's this painful reality that change has just become a constant. There, you know, for those of us who've been in the world of selling for a while, we would see something on the horizon, we would create a sales strategy, we'd implement it, and then we'd get to ride that for a while. But what we see both in sales organizations and buyers, it's a new constant. And that because change is so constant, people have stopped trusting their experience and their judgment as much as they used to. And so when we say this whole concept of X to XY to Y, it really is this concept around X, or this concept around sales transformation or changing a sales organization, and saying X is today's realities. And it can mean what you sell, It could mean how you sell it and why is that new thing on the horizon. So for a lot of our technology customers over the last several years, X is that box software. Y is that selling cloud. For many others, X was that traditional discovery-based selling approach where I'm just going to ask a lot of questions in order to get to the solution. And now Y is more, I've got to come with a strong point of view and an insight that's going to inspire confidence and curiosity on the part of my buyer. The thing that we've seen in the whole crux of what we're looking at here, so many sales teams, so many salespeople, even if they're able to envision what that future state is, if they're able to get ahead of the curve and see what's coming, they race there too fast. And so all of their measures, metrics, expectations are based on an X world when they're working on this Y vision. And to your point in the introduction, there's tremendous productivity hits where people fill in the blanks with the worst case scenario. And what we say is the better way is focusing as much on this intermediate step where you're selling both X and Y as being the solution to getting to that future state. So not just planning for the future state, but actually spending more time, effort, energy, and focus on this place in between.
Now, as a C-level manager or sales manager, I've seen what I believe you're talking about happen many times. So the scenario could be we're introducing a new product this year that's replacing the old product, and that's going from X to Y, and we have to go through this XY stage. It can be an acquisition of another division where new products are being added, I believe, that kind of change. It could be even management changes. I've been with one company where every 2 years, 3 years, they changed how they sold. They had direct salespeople and inside salespeople, and then they went to twice as many inside salespeople, half as many outside salespeople. They went to the same number of salespeople. They doubled the sales engineers that are working on it, and now they're changing the way they sell. So you're saying any of these life-changing events within a corporation, which are normal, progressive things, those are all moving from X to Y, and that ball of chaos in between of change is what slows everything down. Because salespeople, I think salespeople have the attitude, yeah, the company's changing the way they do things. I'll wait till the third memo comes to see if they're serious.
Precisely. And so that wait-and-see attitude, or I don't even know if I'm going to have this territory, this group of customers, these prospects in, 3 months, or, you know, they've said stuff like this before, I can just wait for it to go away. All discretionary effort on the part of the seller disappears as people just wait and see. And that's actually the best case scenario. The worst case scenario is that all your best people that feel like they can go work elsewhere do just that. So unless there's inspiration and clear vision for how I can be successful today, I'm gonna either sit back and let it coast, or I'm gonna go find a place where I can be successful.
So your book is really about this. From X to XY to Y, it's about this XY process on the part of the salespeople, on the part of the sales management team, as well as on the part of the customer to go through this phase. And some people might say, well, the customers aren't involved in this. Well, the customers have to live with it. So your book is really about how to do this smoothly without major hiccups and changes in sales staff and sales managers who get dumped and customers who stop buying. It's kind of this hidden thing I've always had to put up with through the years, but I never really thought about how to smoothen it out. And that's what your book is about, teaching me how to do that. Is that right?
Absolutely. And I would actually even say, you know, we skipped over that customer element. Everything that we've been talking about so far that's going on in, you know, more often than not, large, complex sales organizations is going on in our customers. Actually, part of the reason why customers need a different type of selling, and part of the reason why our forecasts as salespeople, we just can't explain why we used to be able to be successful with them before, is because the system in which customers buy has also changed based on, you know, the shifts in the economy and the shifts in the rate of change. The great salespeople we see really are the ones who can help their customers navigate their own major XY transitions. So there, it is actually a sales approach to a great extent as well.
Yeah, it was interesting how you brought the sales approach moving from solution selling, and we'll save that till after the break, moving into the new way of selling. Now, the book is divided into five parts. New logic for sales transformation, a change in buying, which everybody, there's still a lot of discussion about this change in buying, and I like your approach a lot better. It isn't just simply buying on the internet and becoming more educated. It's a lot deeper than that. The salespeople, how you sell change to them, and then you don't forget the sales managers and sales leaders, how they change and how they sell change. And then your conclusion, which is the pivotal moments. When we come back in just a minute after our break, if we can talk a little bit about this disruption in the buyer process, because I think that's an important part of the book. And let's proceed when we come back. We've got a good start here. Paul, over to you. Okay, we've been speaking with Rick Cheatham. He's the head of sales for the U.S. effort for the 20 sales consultants here deployed in the U.S. for BTS. And we've been tackling his book, Selling Visions, and we're talking about the various aspects of this, which is a very complicated and ignored area, which is change within the company, change within the sales force, and selling this change to the salespeople. And before we left, I asked Rick, when we come back, if he can discuss disruption in the buying process that affects the seller. Can you expand that a little bit, Rick?
Sure. So most of us who've been in selling for a while have kind of been exposed to, hey, you can't just focus on your selling process. You also have to focus on your customer's buying process. And what, you know, no matter who the provider was or whether it was something homegrown within the sales force, there was always this kind of 5 to 7 step process that generally starts with recognizing a need for a purchase and kind of marches through you know, all the way through making a decision in the implementation. And we all learned about this, and it's not that it was wrong or bad as an idea, but what we've seen over the last 3 or so years is that that's just not how it works anymore. Instead, what we see are customers saying, yes, I need to do something different. And yes, you know, I'm even willing to fund something different. And I start to talk to different salespeople about it. But, you know, for, you know, a large software company, for example, that software seller's competition isn't just another supplier, a direct competitor, but it could also be expanding a plant in Kansas City. Because many people, because of this rate of change that we see, even senior executives no longer seem to have complete ownership of their budgets. So what we tend to see is people starting a buying journey, and then you know, significant events happening in that customer organization, and we start to see, we call it a decision vortex, we start to see a customer kind of turn on itself and go, well, what if this, what if that? And they're forced into this incredibly unproductive indecision place where they can't make progress in their own business. And so
that's the disruption.
Oh, sorry.
And that's the disruption that occurs, this vortex. Boy, have I experienced that with the people that I've managed.
Yeah.
The salespeople go crazy because a done deal is suddenly not done anymore. And then we begin to blame the salesperson for not controlling the sales process, and the customer is the one that keeps disrupting things because they slip into this vortex of indecision.
Exactly. And so those great salespeople are the ones that not only connect their offering to one or two initiatives, but are able to understand the entire landscape within their customer, you know, especially in complex sales. I'm talking about here more complex sales, so that when a customer enters into that decision vortex, they're able to help them navigate out and give the buyer who has the most stake here the ability to influence his or her peers and team to keep moving, to keep moving in the process.
I'm just pulling out a few things out of this book because, you know, we've got a 30-minute program, but this book really connects three or four major things going on, which is this undefined to why situation, all those changes, along with the buyer changes, along with the changes in selling. You make the comment in here, in 10 years there will be half as many salespeople making twice as much money on page 112. And then we get into this defining the difference in the salespeople. We've only got a couple of minutes, but I'd be really remiss if we didn't have you define a major part of this book, which is this accelerator salesperson or sales process. Can you help us with that?
Sure. And I'll give it the quickest treatment possible. The way that we see kind of sales evolving over the years is it used to be the best seller was the one that could provide the fastest response with the most detail possible to meet that specific product need of a customer. Then we saw this area where we see the majority of sellers today, where it's not just about a product that I have to sell, but it's about a broader solution portfolio that I'm going to address specific problems that you have. So it is about customer understanding. I'm going to solve today's problems. The highest end and where we see the greatest growth for people is this concept of being that seller who can walk into a customer's business, help them realize opportunities that they didn't know existed, and accelerate their results. And what we're seeing where we see the greatest decrease in number of sellers and frankly value of seller to buyer is in that middle section where most business to business salespeople sit today, because busy buyers don't have time to talk about their problems. They're willing to, you know, have a quick conversation about a spot need, answer my question. A lot of times that ends up in telltale kind of environment, or they want somebody who helps me know things that I didn't know before. And it is that center space that's getting squeezed quite a bit.
So this just isn't pain solving and it's not solution selling. This is helping the company, no matter what position they're in, showing them that they can increase their efficiency in their sales and having the salesperson understand that. I wish we had more time here, Rick. I want to get into this final question. What are the three things that have made you a success? We've been speaking with Rick Cheatham, co-author of Selling Vision. It's a McGraw-Hill book, and it was just out in March, I believe, this year. And I've got a first edition, which I'm going to hold on to. Thank you very much. And
thank you.
Rick, tell us, what are the three things that have made you a success? You've got 3 minutes. Go.
First, it's a real focus on the individuals around me and making sure that they are achieving what they want. And whether that's when I was an entry-level sales rep and I had a customer service rep supporting me, part of it is about making sure that everybody that can help you feels like you're personally invested in them achieving their goals.
Okay, not just salespeople, but everybody around you. What's your second?
The second for me is also just a level of authenticity. You know, salespeople, customers, just everybody around, we can smell inauthenticity, I can't even say it now, a mile away. Really being as direct and open as you can with both customers and employees, I think has made a huge, huge difference in my ability to be successful. And probably the third, while the first two seem very altruistic, it's balancing that passion for people and that are on the team with a high degree of accountability. So we're going to work together closely. I'm going to support you completely, but we're going to separate personality from performance. And if we don't get the job done, we're going to have to figure out what option B is.
Those three are really great, Rick. We've been speaking with Rick Cheatham, the head of sales, the U.S. sales practices for BTS, and he's given us his three things that have made him a success. Rick, tell us, tell people how they can reach you.
Sure. The easiest thing to do would be to go to sales.bts.com, and that's the easiest place to find us all.
Well, you've been very helpful today, and I've got two copies of your book, and I've got a major guy at a major company that I'm going to, Paul Gray, that I'm going to give this other copy to that you've been generous with. We've been speaking with Rick Cheatham. We've been reviewing his book, Selling Vision, and it's a great book, and I'm three-quarters of the way through it, and I'm enjoying every minute of it. Rick, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on SLMA Radio.
Real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Paul?